All right, let's take our Bibles once again and go over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll pick up where we left off last week. And we are in the process right now of discussing the... let me get to it here. We are looking at the kingdom that the devil has, all right, Satan's kingdom, and we have looked at the fact that we wrestle not against one another, and that is so important. That right there will just save us so many heartaches and so many nervous hearts and just tension and stress. We don't fight one another, all right? Your enemy is not flesh and blood. And then we stopped last week with, ran out of time when we were looking at the fact that there is a lot of misunderstanding about the devil and his kingdom, a lot of misunderstanding. And it's so sad that there are just multitudes of people, and I'm talking about Christian people, who have never really sat down and been taught or read anything on it, and we don't fully understand just how bad this war that we are in as believers, just how bad this war actually is. But it is bad. It's getting worse every day. Every day it just gets worse. It's something new every single day, it seems like. And our world looks at the devil like he's just some kind of a shady character who has a little bit of a negative influence in this world. No, he's your enemy. He wants you dead. He wants you dead. If you're saved, he wants you dead, so you can't tell anybody else about the Lord Jesus so that they don't have to go to hell. And if you are unsaved, he would have you dead just so he could go ahead and drag your soul right into the ground and right into hell. I mean, that's just how much he hates the people of God. Now, tonight, I want us to consider some of the methods that the devil uses to deceive and to destroy as we live our lives. The devil is constantly at war against us, but he has some routines. He has some methods that I want to call to your attention and make you aware of this evening. All right, so in Ephesians 6, and beginning in verse 10, we read, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." You can't fight the devil in your own strength. You do not have the capability to defeat the devil in your own strength. There's only one who can defeat him, and that's the Lord. All right, so then he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And he is indeed a wily individual. Now, I want us to take that last little phrase there and look at one more thing before we move into the powers and the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places. So let's pray, and then we'll look tonight. Begin and hopefully finish looking at the devil's methods to deceive and to destroy. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you now for the opportunity we have to open the Word of God and to look at its truths. Father, we are thankful that we have the weaponry to stand and to fight and to defeat our great enemy. And Father, I pray that you will help me as I speak, and I pray you'll bless our folks as they listen. And may we leave here tonight well armored and well trained to know how to stand against the devil in this evil day. So bless and give us wisdom, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Christ's name, amen. All right, just a couple of things tonight about this matter of the methods that the devil uses. And one of the greatest tools the devil has is the fact that he does so much of his work in darkness. All right? He deceives people, and he uses his don't forget, he's the prince of darkness. He is evil personified, if you will. And so one of the things that we see is that Satan achieves his ends through keeping the unsaved man in spiritual darkness. That's one of his greatest tools to use against this world we live in. Our world today is thoroughly deceived by the darkness of the devil. There is spiritual darkness everywhere you look. Everywhere you look. And it's only getting worse and worse as each day passes. Our world today is involved in so many dozens and hundreds of things that the devil uses to get us deceived and get the world to stay in this spiritual darkness. Let me give you a couple of them. First of all, Satan uses religion to keep men in darkness. Now, does that shock you? It shouldn't. It shouldn't. I mean, if you were the devil, wouldn't you use religion to deceive people? Wouldn't you want people to think that they're going to heaven and that they're serving the true God of heaven and that they're living the way God wants them to live? Wouldn't, if you were the devil, wouldn't you want them to feel that way? All right, that's what he does. That's one of the greatest weapons that the devil has. Now, untold multitudes of people cannot see the light of this world, who is the Lord Jesus, simply because they have been deceived and they have been lied to through religion. Through religion. Now, as you folks know, I'm not keen on religion. I'm real keen on Christianity. All right? But Christianity is not religion. True Bible Christianity is not religion. Now, what is Christianity? Well, that's God reaching down to man. That's Christianity. Christianity, listen, we can't save ourselves, can we? There is absolutely no way. All of the efforts and all of the works that we try to do in order to appease the God of heaven, well, listen, that's just all. It's nothing in God's sight. Let me remind you, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So is there any blood that is involved in your good works or my good works? No. No, there's no blood there at all. But that is exactly what the devil uses to deceive and to hook so many folks and get them to think that they are right with God, when the truth of the matter is they're as lost as they can be. Because you see, works is not going to save anybody. It's just not. It's impossible for works to save anybody. And so you look at our world today, you've got religion at every turn in the road. I mean, it's there. I said to you last week, and I want to reiterate it again, there is, according to Paul in Ephesians 4, there is one Lord. How many? One. One. There is one Lord, one faith. How many? One. So there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And that's not that baptism. That's not water baptism. That's not what he's talking about. You say, well, what kind of baptism is it? It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which gives regeneration to our souls. You see, and there's only one. You don't have to get regenerated and regenerated and regenerated. You can only regenerate genes one time, all right? I'd like to get these physical genes regenerated, you know? I played the 18 holes of golf Monday morning and Monday afternoon. I could barely bend my wrists. I just ache and hurt. And I thought, oh, man, this is awful. I can't wait to play golf again. You know, it's not going to bother me, keep me from playing, don't get me wrong. But it sure was easier back years ago when you could play 36 holes, walk 36 holes, dragging a golf bag behind you or carrying it over your shoulder. But now, riding 18 holes, I slept good Monday night, I'll tell you that. As a matter of fact, I think about 9 o'clock I went to sleep. I haven't done that in forever. But what I'm saying is, I'd like to get some regenerated genes right now. All right, physical genes. But your spiritual genes, they only need regenerated once. There is one Lord, all right, one faith, and one baptism. And that baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which baptizes you into the family of God. All right, so here you got one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and yet you've got hundreds of denominations. And you've got hundreds of others that are non-denominational. And you've got others that are Catholic. And then you got others who are Mormons. And they all identify themselves as Christians. And then you've got the Jehovah's false witnesses. And they all identify themselves as Christians. And folks, the devil just sits around and smiles at that because he knows that he has once again deceived multitudes of people. Folks, you can't get to heaven by works. That means the seven sacraments cannot save you. All right? Now, those of you who are ex-Catholics, you should have said amen right there. But you cannot get to heaven through sacraments. It's impossible. not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. You see, we are not saved by all this works, Catholic confusion. By the way, we're not saved by charismatic confusion. Why is this thing popping like it is? Is that what it is? You want me to lower it? Okay. If I want your opinion, I'll ask. All right? All right? Okay, thanks. So this charismatic confusion. Oh, well, if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Well, I'm pretty sure. What do you mean you're pretty sure? You're pretty sure. Well, I was saved one time. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't John 3:16 say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," help me now, "should not perish." That kind of wipes out, I hope so, doesn't it? "Should not perish," wait, "but have," what? "Everlasting life." All right, so plainly and clearly, you don't have to get saved and then get saved and then get saved and then get saved, and then you don't lose your salvation every time you sin. And then you got all these people that want to identify sin. I had a Nazarene preacher tell me that he said, "Well, here's how I kind of look at it. If I sin, I see it as a mistake. But if you sin, I see yours as sin." I said, "What?" He said, "Brother, what I'm trying to tell you is we don't know what we believe." And he was a Nazarene preacher. But then, listen to me, his daughter got killed in a car accident. And he sat in my office and wept and cried and said, "Can I tell you something?" And I said, "By all means." He said, "I remember the day that my little girl sat on my lap and I explained to her how she needed to ask the Lord Jesus to save her. And I said, 'Honey, do you believe that Jesus died for you?' She said, 'Yes, Daddy, I do.' You believe Jesus died for you?" "Yes, Daddy, I do." And he led her in prayer. Now, she wasn't living for the Lord. When she got about 14, she got old enough and smart-mouthed enough to tell Mom and Dad she wasn't going to church anymore. And she died when she was 16 in a car accident. And he sat in my office and he said with tears streaming, I don't mean he was weeping, little drops here. No, weeping flowing out of his eyes. And he said to me, "I believe that my little girl's in heaven." And I said, "Say what now?" And he smiled and he said, "I think you're right." He said, "If anybody would ever go through what we have been through as a mom and a dad, if anybody had ever gone through that, they certainly would hold on to the fact that John 3:16, when it says everlasting life, means everlasting life." And yet you've got all kinds of these Arminian theology churches, which is what the charismatic movement is all about. And they're saying, you got to do this. Some of them say, oh, well, you trust Jesus, but it's got to be evidenced by speaking in tongues. Where's that in the Bible? Where is that in the Bible? Oh, well, you know, you got to get the gift. I got a lot of gifts. Don't you? I know you. Yeah, you got a lot of gifts. I know you. Some of you folks are the best Sunday school teachers in the world. Some of you are some of the most gracious Christians who have the gift of helps. And when someone's sick, you send a card and you know exactly what to say in that card. Isn't that amazing? You know what that is? That's God's Holy Spirit gifting you to enable you to be a comfort and a help to somebody else. These folks say, well, have you gotten a gift? Yeah. Yeah. You do? Yeah. What gift you got? Do you speak in tongue? No, but I got the gift of helps. And they'll scratch your heads. What's that? Well, that's in the Bible. That's biblical. All right? Paul said, if there be tongues, they will cease. Right. Yeah. They will cease. When? When that which is perfect is come. Now, we know God has given us three perfect gifts, don't we? And three is the number of completion. And so when Paul wrote that in 1 Corinthians and said, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, the tongues thing, would be done away with. So what did the Lord give us? He gave us himself. All right? He gave us his word, and he gave us the Holy Spirit. But now, wait a minute. Only two of those were with Paul when he wrote that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And that was Jesus had already come, and the Holy Spirit had already come. But there was one that was yet to be complete, and that was the scriptures. And they were complete in about 90 to 92 AD. First Corinthians was written in about 61, I think, somewhere in there. So you had 40 more years before the scriptures were complete. When that which is perfect is come. You say, well, Pastor, isn't the church perfect? I wish it was, but no. No. You say, well, why not? Because we're in it. Because I'm the pastor of it. That's why. Far from perfect. You say, well, what about our salvation? No, your salvation's not yet perfect. You still have your old nature. One of these days, you're going to get rid of that old nature, and you're going to be in heaven, and then your salvation will be perfect. But it's not perfect right now. That's why when you use a hammer and you hit the wrong nail, you say probably what you should not say. All right? Moral of the story is don't hit the wrong nail. Right? So you got the charismatic confusion, you got the Catholic confusion, then you got the cultist confusion. It amazes me that cultists can gather people but in droves. It just amazes me. You know, David Koresh, you remember David Koresh down in Texas? That's one I just did not understand at all. He claimed to be Jesus. He claimed that he was Jesus. And yet, he had glasses that were as thick as a Coke bottle. You remember that? I sit there on TV. Are you kidding me? Heal yourself, physician. You know? It doesn't make sense, does it? And yet here are people sitting there, just ready to give it all just for him. I don't understand that stuff. I don't understand why anybody would fall for this Jehovah's Witness stuff. I don't understand why anybody would fall for this Mormon stuff. I just don't get it. Not when we have a Bible. But yet, the devil can, he just gets men everywhere to swallow this stuff, hook, line, sinker, and even the eye of the pole. You know? Just gobble it all up and fall for it. Here's another one I don't understand. I saw this on the news a couple weeks ago when they had the Grammys. I didn't watch the Grammys. I would never watch that garbage. But they had these. They had all these. Rap artists. You know, all these rap music people with their filthy lyrics. All right. Just filthy words in their songs, talking about filthy subjects. Their videos are filled with nudity and violence and filth and drugs and murder and the whole nine yards. And then they get to the Grammys and they win, and they come up and stand on before a microphone and say, "Well, I just want to give all the praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, I'm not sure I heard this correctly, but I thought that I heard the Lord say, "I don't want it. I don't want it. That's not the praise he wants. That's not the glory he wants. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." And so, I don't get it. I don't get it. I just don't. I'm sorry. Well, I can tell you right now, he God doesn't want that kind of glory and praise. He just, if I know my Bible, he doesn't. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say all the time, it's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. All right, let me say that again. It's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. And that's why it's dangerous for folks to sit in a church that is not biblical. Not biblical in its preaching, not biblical in its teaching, not biblical in its doctrine, and not biblical in its standards. You see, that's not popular preaching. No, but it's good preaching. But that's what the devil does. Turn in your Bible. Go back to 2 Corinthians for just a moment. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let me read a couple of verses here to you. 2 Corinthians 4, look down please at verse 3. Verse 3. All right, look at it. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Do you see that? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know, there are multitudes of lost people that they cannot process the gospel. They just can't do it. They've been blinded by darkness. They have been blinded by falsehood, by error. Verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world, who's the God of this world? The devil. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So right there, Satan has this world blinded, literally blinded, spiritually blinded to by the darkness of sin. And he has done this by blinding men from the truth. Folks, we all understand that light dispels darkness, right? Light dispels darkness. Usually, light shines into darkness. But notice here, God commands the light to shine out of darkness. And that's where the church comes in. That's where you and I come in. You see, we have been commanded by the Lord to let our light shine. Why? So others can see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. Go over to the 11th chapter for just a moment. And we've looked at these verses last week, I think. But look at what Paul said here to the Corinthians in this 11th chapter. He said, look at verse 10. He said, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. So in other words, he said, the truth of the Lord is in me. It's like Jeremiah said, it's a fire burning in my bones. All right? And Paul said, nobody's going to stop me from boasting about the Lord. Nobody's going to stop me from telling others about Jesus. Wherefore, verse 11, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Now watch, for such. Who's the such? Well, these people who are trying to silence the gospel. These who are the workers of iniquity. These who are spreading the evil and serving up the evil. Paul said in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, in other words, and hey, Corinthian church, don't be amazed at that. Don't let that trip you up. You should not be surprised by this truth. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Folks, if the devil, who is evil, who is fallen, who is the prince of darkness, if the devil can transform himself into an angel of light, then Paul said, don't be surprised that the devil can get in men and they think they're apostles. They're not apostles. They don't even know the truth. But they'll tell you they are. They'll tell you they do. And he said, don't marvel at that. Don't marvel at that. I remember the first time I ever saw this. I was about 5 or 6, 7 years old. And we were staying with my grandfather, my dad's dad. We were staying with him because my mom was in the hospital, and she had a bout with cancer, and so she was in the hospital. And so we were at my grandfather's house, and it was a Sunday morning, and they had this like orchestra build up, you know, and you could hear the harp being strummed, and you could hear, you know, all this, and then here comes Catherine Kuhlman. You remember Catherine Kuhlman? Any of y'all remember her? White outfit, and she wasn't walking. All right, I don't know how they did it, but they put her so that she just seemed to float across the stage. Do you remember that? And I remember standing there looking at that, and I looked at my grandfather, and he said, "Oh, turn that channel. That woman's a heretic." And he turned the channel, and I said, "No, take that back here. I want to see that." I remember standing there arguing with him. "I want to watch that." And I said, "Did you see how she came across?" He said, "It's a lie. It's a lie, son. Don't believe that." Well, thank the Lord I had somebody there to tell me the truth. I told you all, I probably told you this one. I got sick one Saturday night, middle of the night, stomach virus, and I got sick, so I called my brother, and I said, "Mike, you're going to have to preach this morning. I'm sick." And By morning, I still didn't want anything. I didn't want anything to eat. Still didn't feel good. So I just stayed home, and I sat in my recliner, and I turned on the TV, and here was this handsome. Oh my goodness, this handsome guy, black hair, you know, slicked back, and tall, thin. You know, had on this real fancy smancy suit, and he started speaking, and I'm sitting there. Now I'm 24, maybe 25 years old, all right, so I'm sitting there, and I didn't catch who it was, and so every time they put it up, evidently I was looking at something else, but I didn't see who it was. I thought, well, who in the world is this guy? So he starts talking. Oh, my, did it sound good. I mean, I'm sitting there going, yeah, amen. Man, that's good. Listen to that. And then all of a sudden, here came heresy. Now, I don't mean heresy with a little H. I mean an H that big. That stood for hell. You know what I mean? What he said was heresy. And I was shocked. I mean, it's 15 minutes into the program. But he didn't get to the bad part until he had me hooked. You see what I'm saying? Oh, I sat there, was eating it up. I thought, man, listen to this guy. This is awesome. And then right after, I'm yelling at the, well, that's not right. What's wrong with you? That's heresy right there. Shame on you for preaching that. But he just kept digging in. And then down at the bottom, it said hour of power or hour of truth or something. And Garner Ted Armstrong. You remember the Armstrong guys? Huh? His son, Gardner Ted, was the one I was looking at. Gardner Ted. I was, whoa, that's heresy. And that's when it hit me like a ton of bricks. This is how the devil operates. You know, throw out little truth bombs, you know. Just throw them out and the birds come along and, boy, that one's good. Boy, that one's good. Boy, that one's good. And then here comes the heresy bomb. And man, people fall for it and they swallow that stuff amazingly. Why? Because the devil is the prince of darkness. Because the devil knows what he's doing. Because the devil can transform himself into an angel of light. Paul said, don't you marvel at that. I have told you many, many times through the years, and I'll tell you again tonight, but it should be obvious to anyone who knows their Bible. But not everything that glitters is gold. Now, folks, I'm not trying to be offensive. I can be offensive without trying. I've noticed that through the years. But I'll tell you this, the truth's the truth. And you can, if you know the truth, you should be able to spot the devil when he's at work. So don't fall for all this stuff. I mean, one gospel, one faith, one Lord, one Savior, one baptism, one way to get saved, one way to go to heaven. And yet there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches and denominations. And every Sunday all over the world, there are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And they stand behind pulpits and they impersonate ministers of righteousness and preach, in most cases, though, a social gospel. And it sounds good and it drips all over the place. But if you listen carefully, you'll hear them deny the blood. You'll hear them magnify works instead of grace. You will end up being deceived, as Paul says here, deceived like the whole world is sitting in the hands and the arms of the evil one. Go over to Revelation 12 before I quit. Go to Revelation 12 for just a moment. All right, Revelation 12. All right, let's go down, please, to verse 7. All right, verse 7, it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Now, this is future. This is coming. Fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now watch. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the what? The whole world. Folks, there's no room for being naive on this matter. There's just no room for it. And you don't want to be caught agreeing and supporting anything that the devil has his teeth in. You just don't. And I've told you this also, if you want to find out if a stick is crooked, then you lay that stick down beside something that's straight. That's straight. You want to see if a stick is crooked, you lay that stick down beside a straight stick, and you'll be able to see the difference. In other words, folks, there's no substitute for knowing your Bible. No substitute for that. That's what keeps you on the right track. All right? All right, well, we didn't get all the way finished, but I can see the end here. Yeah, right there it says conclusion. Right there. Right there. And we're here. We're right here. All right? So we'll pick it up there next week. And then we'll get to the various powers and principalities and what all that means. All right? And it means some scary stuff. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you now for our time together tonight. Help us to understand what we have heard. Help us to realize that there is a real devil. Paul understood how the devil works and how he's nonstop and how he's relentless. He never quits, never takes a day off, never goes on vacation. And Father, I just pray that you will help us now to read these verses, read them over and over until we get them settled in our minds. And Father, help us to make the right kind of judgments upon the what we know from the Word of God. And so I pray that you will give us understanding and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.